Welcome back, everyone, to the Story Sorcery Podcast. I have my friend Brittany here today. Hi, Britt.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to chat. So let me intro you, and we're gonna get right to it. So I've known Brittany for a few years. She's a functional nutritionist, as well as a somatic release practitioner, and you specialize in women's hormones. Yes. She is owner and founder of Brittany Lynn Wellness and creator of the Food Freedom Project, where she's helped hundreds of women break free from toxic relationships with food, learning how to truly nourish their bodies physically and emotionally. Her approach to healing the body is a dual pathway, taking into account the physical and the emotional body. Her focus is on working with somatic release, nervous system regulation, and cellular health through food and supplementation. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
That's me in a paragraph.
That is you. So tell us your story. We open up every guest just shares their story. I know you got kind of deep with me as we chatted about recording the episode. So you have a really unique story. And I'd love to hear that. And then maybe like take us through a journey of your story and then leading into what you do now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, we were just talking about how storytelling is the way we connect, right? And so I start off any class, anything, talking about my story, where I came from, and kind of where I find myself to be, knowing that I'm always on the journey. Like there's never this like destination where I feel like, okay, I've made it, I've whatever, but it is what it is. And I get to teach from what I know. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start the story coming from the acting industry. So I come from film and television. That was like my,
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. That was like my everything. And I was like this brave little go-getter, moved myself to Toronto, had nothing to show for myself, got my friend to take headshots, knocked on agency doors, like literally was like this ball of fire, just moving in downtown. And I ended up doing pretty well for like, you know, a Canadian young girl, Canadian actor, had a small stint in Manhattan, got to really see the ins and outs of the industry in the TV and film world. And in that industry, this is going to come to no shock to people that know anything about the industry. It is all about what you look like. It is all about, like, that's kind of the first kind of like whether or not you get in the door is literally we're looking for blonde, thin, blue eyes. Like they're able to give those kinds of descriptions. And in this industry, I literally was caught in this whirlwind of eating disorders and body dysmorphia and assaulting my body from every angle, whether it was diet pills or starvation, like whatever it was, we call it ortho anorexia, right? So just like really the multiple attempts to make myself as small as possible and really fit into the expectations of what was needed or wanted, right? What made me feel worthy, what got me the job, so to speak, right? Or literally in the industry. And I'll never forget, and I tell this story because this particular point in the story, it was a huge turning point for me when I didn't get a role. I was going for a homeless girl and I did really, really well. And it was me and another girl. So it's called you're on hold. When you get down to like the right before they're going to choose who they want, they're picking between one or three actors. And I was on hold for this role playing this homeless woman. It would be a really big piece for me and something huge on the resume. And I didn't get it. And when I asked for the feedback, well, why didn't I get it? It was, well, you're too well fed. You look too well fed. And that just spun me into this again, like furthering bulimia started. So binging and purging, drug abuse, all of the things kind of came into the picture here. And it really spiraled me downward into just a horrible place in my life. And at the time, I was dating a young man who came from the fitness industry. So he was very much wrapped up in what he looked like and his body and being very restrictive and controlling with food. And wasn't that the perfect fit for a woman who has an eating disorder? Because it's a great way to kind of mask the disorder as well. I'm being healthy and I'm in the fitness industry now. And Unfortunately, he ended up passing. He was diagnosed with cancer and ended up passing later on. But he was kind of like the catalyst for my healing to really start. He was the one who kind of told on me, if you will, to my parents, like, Brittany's got a real problem. Like, she's not okay living in the big city. Like, she's really sick and she's really all the things. And I was so angry at him for that, but it really was the catalyst for me to start to step into therapy and start to step into this self-actualization journey. Like, who am I and where is this coming from? And what's the motivation behind, you know, all of the things that I was doing in my life? He's passed on now, but I have so much gratitude for him because, like I said, he was the one who kind of, you know, train tracks when it's like, and it kind of like, it switches your path. He was kind of that engineer that switched the track for me. And I started then really looking more into everything that I shared today. So really learning about my body from the hormonal perspective and the damage I had done. I left acting. It was kind of this weird, I ended up meeting someone else and heading into Ottawa, and I had called my agent to say, I'm done. You know, I need out of this industry. And I had gone back to school for holistic nutrition. And truly, I had gone back to school because through the eating disorder and the abuse, I had damaged my body so much that I had no period. Like, my period was gone. It was non-existent. I was told, you know, fertility was going to be really difficult for me, like probably IVF and all of that. And there's no judgment with that, but it wasn't a reality I wanted for myself, right? I'm like, nope, I'm not doing this route. I know the body can heal itself. Like, I know that. That's such a truth for me. And so I said no to the, like, everything medical that was offered to me, every pharmaceutical that was offered to me. And I put myself into school to heal myself. I had no vision of, I'm going to help other women and whatever. It really was this journey of like, I want to know my body. I want to understand my body. And then the journey keeps going, right? And I realized that unless we're also working on the energetic and emotional piece, the physical is very temporary, a very temporary kind of thing. So that's my journey into this space. It really was so much of hormones and physical and biology and science. And then quickly realizing, you know, that there's this whole other very important foundational layer, and that's the somatic piece, and that's the cellular imprint piece and emotional piece and all of the things. And so that's what's brought me to this place now, where I get to share the goods, share the knowledge. I love that you take notes. You're like, oh, I gotta remember. Yeah, I love it.
I'm kind of picking up on things that are pinging me that I might want to ask you. And the first thing I wrote down was when you said the fitness industry can sort of mask some of these disorders that I think many of us women have fallen into. Can you speak to that a little bit? I know it's a sensitive topic, but I personally love, you know, taking a scroll through Instagram these days and seeing there are a lot of women, even in the fitness space, starting to lovingly call themselves out and really look at, like, whoa, I like eating the 6 small meals a day or all of that, like the hyper controlling. They're starting to understand perhaps what is beneath that.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that a little bit? Like that shift that you, do you see that happening too?
I see it a lot. And I think it's really coming into this kind of greater energy of knowledge and wisdom of the female body. And that we are not meant to, right? And people get very defensive when I talk about the delicacy of the endocrine system for the female, but we are learning how to live in a nourished place, right? And so this idea of, well, I need a 6-pack and I need to be really lean and I need to look like her and I need to have, you know, a big, like, glutey bum and like all of those things. It's like, you may be at your leanest, but that doesn't mean that you are at your optimal female, right? Where your hormones are nourished and what have you. So I think there's like a legitimate, women are getting educated. Like, women are actually learning about what nourishes the female physiology. What energy requirements do I really need? And it's this idea of like, I can, you know, look great and be a size two and whatever. But if I feel like shit at the end of the day, is it really worth it? You know? So I think there's definitely like an educational thing that's happening. And then just like you, Jer, like I watch these fitness models. I used to follow all of them and all of the things. And it's like, there's just no way. Like there's pieces missing that we're not seeing, right? So we're missing the depression. We're missing the horrible cycles. We're missing the fact that a lot of them are struggling with pregnancy. Like, and again, I say that not with judgment, but just in this observation of like, you're not seeing how they are in their lives. Like you're not seeing what is, they may be napping five times a day. You're not seeing that. Right. And so that's the big shift I'm seeing is like women really waking up to this idea of like, what I want to be nourished. And it's less about what I look like, what I feel good. Right.
I love how you use the word education, because you can feel, and this is where as a healer myself and as an alchemist and someone who's really a stand for the feminine, especially now, I wasn't quite there 10 years ago, but you can feel the contrast in the information out there, because there's still this camp that is sort of in the disembodied feminine, but then there's a whole lot more of the embodied education rising. And like, I have goosebumps as I'm saying that. And it's even just for me, I have three daughters. And so again, I'm okay. I know you said sometimes you get heat on this topic or whatnot, and there probably will be defensiveness. I'm okay going there and talking about it though, because we have to, like, we can talk about it lovingly and really use our own stories and experiences to share. But I love that you used the term education, because you're right. It's really starting to rise.
You said something that I wanted to expand on there. What did you just say? Right before you said I have three daughters. Anyways, maybe it'll come back to me.
Like the contrast in the two. I was talking about the contrast. The information that's out there. It feels almost thick, because it's whoa. Yeah. Like some people, I think, are sort of stepping back and being like, this is too much. Other people are really leaning in. Like there's a lot happening energetically.
I know what I was going to say. I was going to tap on this idea of like intuitive eating. Like you're saying, like how women are super controlled and they're, I have to eat this. All of the rules we have around that, it takes away that very like intuitive embodied experience. And exactly what you're saying, like eating, I don't even use the word eating a lot. In a lot of my courses, I choose fueling or nourishing. So it's their nourishment time. It's not their eating time or their meal time. It's your nourishment time, right? Or your refueling time. This is meant to be an embodied experience, like where we are in this relationship with the food that is information for ourselves. And it can be that much of a beautiful experience if we really allow ourselves to be in the body while we're doing it. But this requires us, right, to actually do some of that work in the body. This is the inside work that I talk about a lot. We need to be able to be in the body first and foremost. And so many of us are not comfortable with that. We are so out of our bodies all day long. Right.
Yeah. So what I teach in my work is that I think as a collective, we're healing the wounded masculine. Mm-hmm. So the part of us that wants to control, that comes from wounding. That comes from this very patriarchal society. That comes from our mothers. That like I grew up watching my mom totally controlling her food all the time, eating 0 point Weight Watchers soup. And as a woman in my 20s, early 30s, I didn't think I had issues with control. It's so funny, right? Because I never had like a full-on eating disorder or anything like that. So I was like, I'm good. And then I had three girls. And I really believe when you have children, that's when our karmic work happens. And all of a sudden I was shown, like, you think you don't have control issues,
sister?
Here
you go. Yeah.
Let's look, right. And so something I had to realize was, holy smokes, it actually burns. We want to talk about nourishment. It burns so much of our life force energy controlling. And eventually that clock just taps out.
Yep.
And then we crash. So somebody could even be controlling and they're like, no, but I'm fine. Look, I'm healthy. I'm good. And I'm like, but it's a ticking time bomb. Yeah. And what I had to learn was when you talk about nourishment, when I look at food now, the difference between controlling and the energy it takes to do that And then receiving, like to me, it's the feminine when like, as I have healed the wounded masculine within myself and I've come more into the feminine, when I eat, it's a totally different experience. Like I'm receiving. And I think as women, that's our wiring. We're meant to receive.
Bingo.
We receive babies in our womb. We receive intuitive guidance more than men. We are wired to receive. Right. And so eventually if we've blocked that, it's going to come to a head.
And for a lot of us, we in order to be in that space of complete trust, right, this ability to receive and be open, there's a vulnerability to let go of the control, right? And the control for so many of us women that we've been raised in this type of society, in this household with these caregiver figures and whatever, it's been programmed, literally programmed in our databases that we are not safe, that we need to control these things for survival. Like it always, the equation always equals for survival, right? If I am not in this state, if I am not doing all the things, if I am not, you know, super overproductive and like never stopping, if I am not working out every day, if I'm not controlling my food, I die. Like when we really break it down to how that piece of the identity was built in, it's deep, deep survival, like strategies, adaptive strategies we brought on as women.
Okay. So let's
so
go
good.
Into that.
I love that.
I want to know, like, how do you break this down with women that you work with? I noticed on your Instagram page too, you talk a lot about the chakras, which I love so much because I equate like in my work too, I can feel what chakra in a woman's body is looking for release. I feel like there's so much healing in our root chakras around what you said, like survival and safety. Take us through like, how do you help a woman lovingly see this, identify this so that she can forgive this fear, this falsity, this programming? Like, how do we do this?
So what I do, and I really do believe this is part of my work. I really do believe part of my work here is because I love the science and I've always loved the science, but I've always been drawn into more of the emotional, spiritual. And I've said this before on social media is I believe the nervous system is a very tangible, like people can understand it when you explain it to them, like the mechanics of the nervous system, but it acts like this bridge between the emotional, energetic, spiritual, and the hormones, physical kind of thing in the women's body. And so I start talking about the nervous system and basically this idea, if I tie it into the chakras, we are kind of all saying the same thing, right? We're just using different language. So we talk about the chakras as these energetic systems, right, that are going down the body. And the same thing happens in the world of the nervous system. If we look all the way down the central nervous system in the body, there's kind of these, we call it plexuses, but they line up. So they're a bundle of nerves, okay? But they line up almost in these exact locations of the chakras, at sending all the information, whether we feel safe in this area or not safe in this area, whether there's a threat in this area or not a threat in this area. But the first step I go into is really having my client understand where she is living throughout her day. So understanding the stages of the nervous system or the steps of the nervous system. And then
do you mean like, are you living in fight, flight, or fear? Is that what you mean? Like,
So I teach from what's called the polyvagal theory. This was developed by Dr. Stephen Porges in like the late 90s. And what he did was he kind of took this ladder approach to the nervous system. And the way I'll kind of teach it for your listeners is it's like a stoplight. So think of like red light, yellow, green light. Okay. Green light is called our ventral vagal. This is the part of our nervous system. It's the youngest part of our nervous system, but it's the part where we feel connected, we feel grounded, we feel safe. This is where we have optimal digestion. This is where we're creating our progesterone as women. Like this is where we are fertile. This is where we're in that receive mode.
I was just going to ask you, because that's what I was feeling in my body.
That's how it'll blend for you.
I feel like when I'm in the green light, I'm receiving. Like I'm just
saying, go. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So this is where you're going to start to make the connections with what I'm saying into your language and say, I know what she's saying. This is where we are connected to a greater power. This is where we are in our passion, you might call it, right? This is where we're intuitive. So this is the ventral vagal. This is where our society teaches us how not to be in this space, right? With all the destructive shit that's going on and all of the rest. So that's the green. So we think about green as this is really not where disease exists. This is where we truly are in our happy hormonal place. Then we move to the yellow. The yellow is known as the sympathetic, or people know it as the fight or flight. So this is the do something. This is the mobilization. This is the there's a threat, therefore I need to get up and go. And this is the type A. This is the high achiever. This is the wounded masculine, everything you and I have kind of chatted about. This is the woman that feels like she can never stop. And control comes in here and all of the rest of the things. So this is where we have anxiety. We are like panic attacks, women will see. This is where our hormones really start to kind of plummet as women. We are very shut off. Again, we're in this control mode. Parts of our brain, right, are actually shut off, and we're more in the reptilian part of our brain when we're in this yellow kind of threat, fight or flight place. Then we have the red. So after we've lived in this kind of fight or flight place for as long as our bodies can try to support us, there's this kind of basement part of the nervous system. It's called the dorsal vagal. This is the complete energy conservation. You know, I'm not going to get away from the tiger that's going to eat me. So my body actually has this beautiful mechanism that just numbs, right? Completely. I jump out of my body and my whole body numbs out. And this is like the cloak over the head, like disappearing. I don't want to be
like,
in the world.
Like disassociation.
100%. Yeah. Complete disassociation, right? Whether we're scrolling on social media, like in other people's lives, because we don't want to be in our own. It can look like suicidal. It can look depression. It can look all, there's a
addiction,
range, right? Addiction can fall into that sympathetic as well, right? As a coping mechanism to not want to feel the stress or whatever the emotions are. But this is where, again, we're falling into now. Think about it from like, I'll connect everything always to the female endocrine system. This is where we are in, like I said, our metabolism is like in the dumpster, right?
In the red.
When we're in this red. Yeah. Yeah. Because the body is just completely shutting down, completely shutting down. Immune system. So we'll see a lot of immune issues come up for people, right? Like autoimmune disorders and all of this. This is all happening in the red. Constipation, like all of your systems are just shutting down in this stage. And what I find, so going back to your question, is when women understand this, quite often they'll say, I'm yellow, red, yellow, red, yellow, red, right? Like I flip between this like go, 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 and crash, where we know it is burnout, right? And we're like, we're supported to be in this yellow. People are like, work harder, you know, be more productive, go make more money, like all of those things. But we as women are not meant, we are not meant to live like that. Our bodies, we have a very different capacity than the male endocrine system. We are very delicate when it comes to our capacity of how we can live in that fight or flight. Right? Versus the male body, which is very different. We are not built the same. So this is why in a society where we've been taught to live in that fight or flight out of survival, out of identity, whatever it is, right? Whatever adaptive strategy you've taken on from your childhood, it's killing us hormonally. Like it's literally killing the female system, the female balance.
I was talking to my naturopath about this, and she was telling me that women in third world countries, although they have their own unique problems and things like that, of course, but they don't have the stress and the hamster wheel type living that we do, and the productivity, you know, hacking hamster wheel trends. And so she was saying their menopausal symptoms are much different than ours, or they don't get any. And I thought that was really fascinating. Okay. So are you saying then that the first step to healing is this awareness of
totally.
Yeah. Okay.
We want to know, right? We want to know because if it's an adaptive strategy, if I had to take on being an extremely productive young woman, right, as a young woman, and this was mm-hmm. something I felt I needed to do to fit into my family structure,
yes.
to be whatever, right, to be loved yes. by my father, or
yes.
to compete with my sisters, I'm talking about my own stuff now, right?
Yep.
If this was a part of the identity that I mm-hmm. took on, then I need to be aware. I need mm-hmm. to be aware
right.
of when I'm in that fight or flight, because
mm-hmm.
without the awareness, it just feels like my normal,
mm-hmm.
right? It actually feels like my safe when it's not.
Did you know that I used to be a cop?
I do.
Which is like the most hilarious thing.
Because knowing you now, I'm like, what? It's the
It's
most
like, but
masculine.
it's the most masculine, like it's the stupidest
Oh
thing
my.
I could have ever done, really. But it's exact, I did it because of exactly what you said. It takes a lot of self-love and being able to midwife yourself through, I think, that awareness. But looking back, you know, I was trying to fit into my very like liberal family, which was like,
Yeah.
you go to school and you
Yeah.
hustle and you get a good job and try to get a pension and try to do all of these things. And, you know, I also used to carry a lot of resentment and anger about that and all sorts of things. But as I've returned to my feminine, I've been able to metabolize a lot of that and even forgive a lot of that, because even our parents' generation, they didn't have the education on this. They didn't. And so we've all just been disembodied. But I
And we
love.
are like the sorry, go
No, go
ahead.
ahead. No, I'm done. I'm done.
Well, I was going to say, because we're talking about parents now, it's like the database, like the way our window of tolerance, our ability to handle different emotional frequencies, our ability to become resilient, what we learn in the nervous system is all calibrated from the caregiver. It's all connected to that, those younger years, right? And so, yeah, you would have been completely programmed, and that would have overrides what our bodies are really asking for, right? I can't tell you how many clients I'm pulling away from, like the F45s and the Orange Fitness, like they hate me.
Just like HIIT workouts every
Because
day.
I'm like, come on, let's come and do some like mat work. Let's come and do some long walks. Because when you are embodied, your feminine body, your endocrine system is not asking for HIIT workouts 6 days a week. It's just not, like, it's not. That's still coming from that, right? That kind of assault or like aggressive kind of, I need to, I have to, the worth is on the other side of the workout.
Right.
So it's
Do
just,
you
it
think
changes everything.
after we go through the healing and we move from the disembodied feminine to more of the, let's say, embodied or even mature feminine, you're capable of receiving, you've really balanced out your life force, your chakras are alive. Do you think, or have you seen, you know, women, I don't know, like, are some women that carry that athlete archetype, like, do they find balance, I guess, is what I'm asking. Like, is it okay to go do two F45 workouts a week? And then they're what?
Totally.
But they're just not, are you saying
Yeah.
they're not so full on in the masculine? Like, is there that balance that comes into play? Is maybe
I'm
the question.
I love that. I'm saying that the intrinsic motivation is coming from that love place, like the self-love. So I can work
out. So the inside,
like,
has to be clean.
That's right.
Okay.
So it's not coming from that, like, I need to prove myself, or in my food freedom, we'll talk about weight loss being a big goal for women, right? I want to lose weight. That always ends up being kind of this, they slip it in right to the conversation with a lot of shame behind it, which is a whole other conversation. But, and I say, great. So we can walk the weight loss path out from a place of self-love, from a connectedness, from a, what kind of movement does my body crave today? Or the same way we were talking about controlling the food and manipulation, blah, 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 and like following the rules and all the things outside. We can do that same thing with moving our body, right? It's all the motive. It's the intention. Where is it coming from? Is it coming from embodiment, or is it not? So to answer your question, if a woman with more of that athletic body type who really, really gets lit up, it becomes a green for her, it becomes a ventral vagal, that green, right?
Right.
Then she will feel that. It won't come from this adrenaline need to, have to. It'll
Right.
come from, I want to.
Mm-hmm.
I get to. And it will be balanced, because if she's listening to her body,
yes.
Again, and we have different cycles. We're not always going in that type of energy. We're not. If we're
mm-hmm.
really in tune and listening.
Right.
Did I answer that? Like, did that make sense? How
totally.
I threw that out? Yeah. Okay.
And I'm sort of selfishly asking for myself, because I have found this happen to me, where after I had my third baby, I was thrown into what I feel like was the final initiation of I had to really descend into my body, into my chakras. I want to ask you about this next, into those imprints that you talk about. I had to really look at the wounding in my feminine lineage. And during that time, like, Brittany, I could barely even go for a walk. Like, mm-hmm. I was tired all the time. Mm-hmm. I was napping. I know that this might not be every woman's journey, but I want to speak about it in a raw way. You know, I was eating like butter and sourdough every day and steak. And at first it felt so wild to be, I guess, that out of control. Like, I was so used to, because I am athletic. I've always played sports. I've always done well at sports. I used to run 10Ks. And movement has always been a big part of my life, but also gentler movement, yoga, meditation, things like that.
Yeah.
And so when, for a period of, I'm not even joking, 2.5 years, my internal guidance system was like, actually, you're just going to go take a nap, or, you know, we're going to go and feel this and look at that. It was so wild. But I feel like it's important to say, I had this really beautiful, voice inside that said, trust this process, because it's all going to integrate and you'll be able to move again in a way that you enjoy. And that is sort of what has happened. It's become like more of an embodied approach.
Yeah.
And something really cool, I don't know if you see this with your clients too, but when I went through that phase where essentially I was softening, I also noticed that in my body, right? Like, I went from having a six pack to being very rounded and full. But you know what happened? I started loving it. And I started, this was part of the healing too. I started playing with like what clothes allows me to feel, I was okay even saying like sexy and embodied and full. Like, how do I express myself now? And once I became okay, like you talk about the inside has to line up with the outside. Once I became really cool with these curves and this surrender that was happening and this purging of my whatever chakra system, that was when it all started to really integrate. And I kind of found my set point, if that makes sense.
Totally.
So talk to us a little bit about, you mentioned at the beginning, we carry these imprints. Can you just touch on that a little bit?
Yeah. So we carry, like, in our nervous system, I explain our nervous system as being like a database that kind of keeps track of all of the threats from the past, all the times we were encountering a traumatic event or a negative experience, right? And like Gabor Mate talks about little T trauma and big T trauma. So when I say the word trauma, it could be also that you weren't tended to as a child, or you were abandoned or what have you, or it can be something like a sexual abuse or what have you. But these are kind of imprinted in our nervous system, like a database. Mm-hmm. And we will develop, I keep talking about these like adaptive strategies as a way to survive, right, through those past traumas. And so the nervous system is, it's almost like if we're not healing the wounding that you're talking about, right, or the chakras, and then I'm saying it in more of a physical sense, like if we're not working on the traumas, if we're not working on really decoding and clearing the clutter, so to speak, from that cellular imprint. Yep.
Because that's what's in the chakras. Like, I know I speak to it a few times from a very metaphysical, like, woo.
Yeah, you know. No, I love that. I love
but
that. Yeah.
That's what's in there is the traumas.
Bingo, yeah. Right? We carry that memory in the body. We carry that memory in the body. And we will continue to create, we will continue to bring in instances to heal those parts of ourselves. So the awareness piece is key. But we, where am I going with this now? I'm kind of off going somewhere else with it. But basically, our entire life, we are living from those past experiences. Like we are in autonomic reactions to present day things that are based off of something way, way back in the past. Right. So it's kind of like clearing out that database, having restorative experiences, right? You call this integration, right? Restorative experiences, creating new synapses in the body, new emotional experiences in the body, finding evidence of a new outcome or a new way of being. You're calling it your set point. Right. So again, we're saying the same thing. We're just using different jargon or different language. But so much of our patterns, our habits, our ability to step out of fight or flight, our ability to step into groundedness and balance and feel safe in being present and being in the body, all has to do with healing that database, healing the nervous system, healing those traumas, healing the wounding, or like you were saying, that are all wrapped up in the chakras.
So let's get really real. Like, is it therapy? Do people need to go to therapy to talk through this stuff? Yeah. Do people need to work with, you know, a coach who's aware of the chakra system and who can help identify? Is it a combination? Should they just check in with their own bodies? Yeah. Should they pray about it? Like, well, I know there's probably nuance and it's different for everybody, but how do they get in there and kind of address these things?
So talk therapy, it's great. I've done it for years. I'm sure most people listening have tried some sort of a talk therapy, but like you and I had just mentioned, we store these memories in the body. And so whatever modality you're choosing, whether it's, you know, a Reiki practitioner, a somatic release practitioner, a trauma, an informed trauma coach, like whatever it is, making sure that there's some sort of the integration with the body. Like release work, right?
Yes.
This ability to kind of move out of whatever the activation is in your life, helping you always kind of come down, deactivate from that fight or flight, and removing the trauma, but removing the traumatic memory from the body. Right? Because just talking about it, it's like, again, this is a dual approach. This is a physical and emotional journey. So just talking and talking and talking about it is actually not doing anything to move it out of the cellular memory, move it out of the body. Yeah.
I would have to completely agree with you because I did therapy for years. And what I found talking did, and my therapist was also trained in A Course in Miracles. So we worked a lot with the mind. Yeah. And what I found was happening through therapy was I was talking through a lot of the fear that lived in my mind, but when it came to my nervous system and the chakras and stored trauma, I had to get into experiences with people who could get me in my body.
That's right.
And the body is where the feminine goes to heal, right? Like I think of the mind as more, and I'm sure there's a little bit more to it than this, but for me, my experience was like the mind was healing more of my masculine tendencies and just the fear that lived in my mind. But to get into the body, that was a totally different thing.
So it's interesting because when we talk about this database that's created, right? Yeah. What feels safe, what doesn't feel safe, what I believe I can do, what I don't believe I can do, all of the things, what's my worth? This is all developed in those younger years, right? We'll say 0 to 7, there's tons of stuff saying it starts birth, okay? Yeah. In mother's womb.
Yeah.
But think about a child, think about an infant and a toddler. The part of their brain hasn't developed yet necessarily, like putting verbal language to something. So in those younger years, everything that's being developed in that database is a felt sense. It's a felt experience. So then when we go to therapy as an adult and we're holding on to all of those felt sense experiences and we're trying to talk about them, there's a disconnect.
Right.
So it's exactly what you're saying. It's like we actually have to get out of the mind. And in fact, most of the stories that we tell ourselves, or when we, again, feel safe, feel threat, don't feel safe, all of the things, 70% of that is body up, or we call it bottom up versus top to bottom, right? It's actually our body is taking in so much of our environment, what feels safe, what doesn't, and is relaying the story up to the mind. This is safe. This is not safe. Work harder, do more,
right?
All of those things, right? So it's in the body. It's in the body.
Yeah.
That's what, where you're looking for those answers. It's all in your body.
You explain it so well.
Do
So
I? Because
good.
sometimes I actually have, I'm like, I don't even know if this is landing for
No,
people.
it's landing. Because everybody and their mom is talking about the nervous system right now, right? And that's
I
great.
know.
We need the education, and we need, but sometimes it's hard to get across what you're saying, what you're explaining right now with depth in like a little Instagram post, right? So no,
Yeah, think of it as like, it's like your special ops team. It's like your security camera, right? Your brain's always scanning for threat, blah, 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 blah. But if we've in those developing years have learned that life is scary, life is threatening, life is unsafe, we're always living in that threat detect. It's like we're always in that hypervigilance, looking through that trauma lens. Yeah. And therefore in activation all of the time, in our wounded masculine all of the time. Right.
Okay, one more question, and then I'd love for you to tell people how they can work with you.
Yeah.
But for busy moms, because lots of moms follow along here, what can they do? Like, there's obviously this greater depth work that we're talking about, working with a somatic practitioner, getting right. Like that's going to be self-responsibility sort of in the long term. But in those like micro moments when, you know, you're with your kids or you're at the park and someone's having a meltdown and you're triggered, like what can we do in those moments to help regulate and just encourage our nervous system? All as
Something,
well.
I know. How do we calm our shit when everyone else is losing
That's
their
what I'm
shit?
trying to say.
Okay. So just a little like prequel to, and then I'll answer that question, is the more you're doing your own somatic release work, the more you're clearing the clutter, the less triggered you will be, right? So,
so true.
Yeah, you'll hold the space for your kids having a tantrum because it's not shameful for me, because I'm not embarrassed because this is my kid and it's okay.
Yeah.
Like you just, you work on that stuff. So we'll put that aside for a second. Like you said, it's self-responsibility. I use the eye gaze a lot for in the moment nervous system regulation, and our eyes, our eyeballs, our neural tissue, right? And so they connect directly with the central nervous system, and we can kind of pump the bicycle brake, so to speak, on that fight or flight reaction just by using our eye gaze. So I'll say to clients, it's called orienting. Okay. This is like a fundamental exercise in somatic practice. Orienting is using the eyes, and you're just going to kind of keep, and again, maybe you're standing in a park, maybe you're in a Starbucks with your kids, maybe you're in whatever. Maybe you need to calm the situation, like whatever the acute situation is, calm it. But if you're worked up, if you're hyped up after that, I'd ask you to orient. So you're going to, without moving your neck like this, I want you just to use the eye gaze. And you can do this without people even knowing, like with sunglasses on, I can do this all the time at the park. And you're looking, you're focusing at different things in your environment, but you're just shifting the eyeballs. I'm not turning my head. And I'm staying on different objects for at least like 10 to 12 seconds before I move to the next thing while continuing the breath. And what I'm doing there is I'm starting to kind of, like I said, push the bicycle brakes, push on that vagus nerve a little bit. Another really easy thing to do is like, and it's using vision again, is look like open your eyes. Cause when we're in fight or flight, we're tunnel vision for survival, right? So I'll say, look at the tops of the trees blowing in the sun, like glimmering in the sun. You know what I'm talking about? Look at the clouds. What does that cloud look like? Look, it really is bringing them back to like what we did when we were little girls, right? When we were just like playing at the park. And then another thing for, because you brought up parks specifically, go play with your kids. Like, get on the slide, go down the slide, swing on the swings. Have you gone on a swing lately?
Yeah, lately I feel like such a child. I took all three of my girls to the zoo and we had the best day ever. And this would not have been possible for me years ago because I hadn't like worked through enough. You know what I mean? I've been working really hard on this for a long time, so that because we homeschool, and my oldest goes to a pod. But let me tell you, homeschooling moms are on a fucking journey of healing, because if you're gonna be with your kids all the time, it brings up all your stuff.
Right in front, so, right, it's right there.
It's right there. So I, like Brittany, I've taken this so seriously because I feel this call in my spirit that I don't know long-term, but for right now, this is our journey. And so the more kids I've had, that's when it all bubbles up, right? Because things get more intense. So anyways, to answer your question, yes, I'm noticing this year that I am so much more able to just be in presence with the kids. We were at the zoo all day, and not once was I like, what time is it? We need to get out of here. I was like slurping the ice cream cone with them and like just on all the different play equipment. And then of course, every now and then I have a bad day and I'm like, okay, right? But for the most part, I can really see the fruit of my work, like my human work.
You're in the ventral. That's when we would say you're in that.
I feel it.
You're in the green, which is just such a beautiful space for your body.
But I love what you're saying about the eyes, because I've talked about my journey a lot on the podcast. And when my third daughter was born in 2020, amidst the world's like crazy nervous system breakdown. And so I felt that, like, that was hard for me. That was hard for a lot of moms. A lot of the kids born in 2020 have had issues, my kid included. And so when she's struggling, a friend of mine who is a naturopath and a medical intuitive, she said, you need to just look at her in the eyes. And that's what we do. And she's so receptive to it too. She just, like, she stares into my soul. And that really works to bring me out of like, okay, even fix it mode. Or when I'm with her and looking in her eyes, I'm in full acceptance of her, of any chaos that's going around. So I love what you're saying about the eyes. It works.
And as a mom, it's like, it's my job to heal. Like, I really do feel like it is a personal responsibility. Our children co-regulate to us. Yes. Their nervous systems will mirror ours. And so if I'm in this frantic huff all the time, my daughter and my son will inherently, that will become their normal, right? Mm-hmm. It's just what, again, we mirror, our nervous systems pick up on each other, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, yeah, it's for me, I'm like, it's a, there's no other way. I want to heal this.
I know. So even if it's messy, like,
and it is,
I know.
And it is, right? But there's just like being in the, walking through this life and being in the body is like, there's just no better feeling. Like, you are in the life that you've built, right? Versus all being out of ourselves all of the time. I mean, it's worth it.
It's so worth it. And sometimes I feel like that's why I was guided to take on this journey with my kids, so that I could heal all this crap.
You chose it.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here. This is so good. Your explanations are so beautiful. Tell people how they can work with you. I know you have your Food to Freedom. Do you do one-to-one as well?
I do. Yep. So it's called Awakened Hunger, and it's very much about what we're talking about. So how do we nourish the feminine on the physical plane? And then how do we really work on more of that emotional body, clearing the clutter, nervous system regulation? So that, you can find me on Instagram at Brittany Lynn Wellness and fill out a submission form, and we can get connected on a call. And then the Food Freedom Project, I only run twice a year, and that is my 6-week group program. And so that's for people that want a taste of this work, right? They don't want to like dive in, but it's kind of a really nice intro, to healing your relationship to food, which is actually really healing your relationship to yourself. Like, it's all about what you and I have touched on. So email, phone, everything's on there. Yeah.
Okay, great. And I'll link all that below. And you have a website as well.
Yes. And I have a website. Yep. Instagram's where I hang out the most. Honestly, I've been told start TikTok, I just don't know. It's a capacity thing for me.
Same.
It's
like,
I got to protect that capacity. I'm very aware of what that is. And I have to put the boundaries up. So I don't know, being plugged into all of those things.
Well, when you're healing the feminine, going on TikTok is really
just triggering.
It's too stimulating for me right now. Like maybe one day it'll feel embodied to go back there, but I'm the same like you. I'm just on Instagram and it feels really good.
We have to have more. We have to have another conversation, whether it's on a podcast or off,
totally.
About what social media does to the system. Like, what is that doing to our nervous systems and programming the littles? It's just mind blowing. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to do a part two for sure.
Awesome.
Well, thanks
Brittany.
For having
me. This was lovely. Bye, guys.
Bye.